Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. Thank you, everyone, for listening to GTR for the past month or so. We've been doing really, really good. So much content. Jesus Christ, it's a lot. But we have here Paris Lilly. He just got back from Gamescom. I thought you were going to stay over there, Paris, but you're back here in the States.
No, you
welcome
wanted
back.
Me to stay over there. That's the difference. I'm back.
It's all good. So how you been? How was the trip? I know this is your second time going to Gamescom. How was the experience compared to the first time you went over there?
It was, oh man, we honestly don't have enough time. I had, it was great overall. Fantastic week in Cologne, Germany. So we got to see so many people and do stuff. It was great. And we'll jump into that for just a second. But yeah. Man, I had some travel issues from the first time I went, smooth. Boom. No yeah. issues at all. This time I'm thinking, oh, I've done this before. I know what to do. Man, they changed stuff in 6 years. I was confused. I didn't know. I'm waiting at baggage claim in Frankfurt thinking my bags are going to show up there. Oh. No, because I was taking a train. They took them to the train. I'm panicking, thinking that I lost my bags, all this stuff. I get on the train. There was no seats. It was hot and I'm sweating and I'm like, oh my God, all that was crazy. But then coming back, I had an Uber that was on the Autobahn and people were doing like 100+ miles per hour. Bags. Yum, yum, yum. The Uber driver is doing like 30 miles per hour on the Autobahn. I'm like, what the hell is this? And then we get to the Cologne airport. He doesn't drop me off at my airline. He just literally, and I had this happen 3 times on the Uber in Cologne. He looks at me and goes, I drop you off here. I don't speak German. I barely speak English. I drop you here. And
what was that about though?
So I went to dinner one night and the Uber driver does the same thing. He gets to a certain point. He goes, yeah, I can't go down there. You got to get out here. And then I had to walk the rest of the way.
Was it a long walk? Was it a long walk?
It wasn't that bad. But it was just weird. All of a sudden, he's like, yeah, you got to get out here. I'm like, what?
That's messed up. That is messed up.
Crazy stuff. But Gamescom was great. Like I said, fantastic time. Obviously got to see a lot of stuff while I was there. But even before Gamescom started, which, you know, people were always speculating, well, why are you going to Gamescom? Why are you going? NVIDIA invited me out to an event that they were having the day before Gamescom as a part of their announcement, which was GeForce On. So essentially, I spent all day at a location with NVIDIA. And I got hands-on time with all these different demos that they had. I got GeForce Now. We'll jump into all that stuff. Got to see everything that they announced for GeForce On. It was fantastic, which, by the way, this segment right here, might as well go into it, is sponsored by NVIDIA. So I do want to thank them for inviting me out to Cologne, Germany to be able to experience that. But part of their GeForce On announcement was, first and foremost, they talked about everything with RTX, DLSS4, multi-frame generation. We all know that with the Blackwell line of GPUs. But there's now over 175 games that can now take advantage of DLSS4 and multi-frame generation. And then they highlighted some of the upcoming games that are coming out. They will take advantage of this at the GeForce On event. One other thing that they showed was their Project G-Assist, which is basically their AI assistant. It already existed, but now they've overhauled it. It takes up less memory, and this new version of it will now work on all RTX GPUs that have at least 6 gigabytes of a memory, as well as it'll now work on the RTX laptops as well. So not just your PC. And for people that are like, well, what is G-Assist? Basically, it's an AI assistant that'll help you set up your system. So if you're looking to configure your system, obviously be it a PC or a laptop, and you have a supporting RTX GPU, you'll be able to use G-Assist. So that was cool to see. The other thing that they're doing now is they're overhauling the NVIDIA app as well. And with that overhaul, now they're doing, because there's DLSS override, which basically any game that doesn't, you know, that wants to use DLSS4 that is supported, you'd have to individually go in and set up DLSS override per game. Now in the NVIDIA app, there's a global setting for that. And you can just set that global setting so all supported games can utilize DLSS override. The other part of this is they've now changed, you know, the statistic overlay that you have. Now they're overhauling that so that you'll be able to see what DLSS override, what the game that you're currently playing is taking advantage of as far as DLSS override as well. The NVIDIA app is currently in beta. This was as of August 19th. If you go into your NVIDIA app, you can essentially go into the about page, I believe, and you can opt into this beta and you'll be able to take advantage of this stuff as well. Mm-hmm. So like I said, really, really cool feature that they're doing with that. But honestly, Nanny, and I'll get into the games that I play in just a second, but the main event was GeForce Now. You know, I've obviously talked about GeForce Now for years at this point. I think it is the flagship cloud gaming service on the market right now. I don't think anything else comes close to it because for all intents and purposes, they're giving you an RTX GPU in the cloud. And starting in September, they're going to now upgrade to Blackwell, the Blackwell line. Cause right now they're on the 40 series cards. Now they're going to update to the 50 series cards. So you're essentially going to have an RTX 5080 GPU in the cloud using GeForce Now. And what comes with that is a few different things. First of all, it's going to reduce latency even more because you're going to have more processing power, right? That's the biggest thing. I shouldn't even say that's the biggest thing. That's one of the things. The other thing is like, now you have the GeForce Now app on the Steam Deck. And it's going to be on the Legion Go. So the Steam Deck screen supports 90 hertz, so up to 90 frames per second. So now you can play games cloud streaming on the Steam Deck at up to 90 frames per second, right? You know, obviously it's what is it? 800p resolution, whatever the case. But then the Legion Go, you can also do, because it's 120 hertz screen, you'll be able to stream games up to 120 frames on a handheld, right? And you're going to get 2 times the battery life as well. So fantastic that you're going to be able to do that. Because, again, if you're sitting at home and you're playing your handheld, you could just literally, instead of trying to play natively and you only get so much battery life, now you're getting all the RTX features, again, HDR, just ray tracing, all that stuff on your handheld, be able to do that. They've partnered with LG now. So the GeForce Now app on LG, and I asked this to clarify, it is the newer television. So you do need a 2025 LG television, but okay. 4K, because you can do it now, but it'll be lesser. But 4K, 120 frames per second on an LG TV. You literally don't even need a console. And you're, taking full advantage of everything that comes with RTX and DLSS4 and all that, playing these games. On the PC and the Mac side with the GeForce Now app, you can do up to 5K and 100. I believe it's 100. Actually, I got a note on this. I want to make sure I got it right. 5K, 120 frames per second. And they had Indiana Jones in a Great Circle playing in the demo. So we got to see it in 5K. It was crazy, right?
That's wild. That is wild.
Yeah, it's really wild. And then, not at 4K, but again, high frames, you could play at 1080p. You can get up to 360 frames per second on GeForce Now. Because one thing that we're talking about, Fortnite is extremely popular in GeForce Now. People play on GeForce Now Fortnite competitively, which is crazy to me. You can get these high frames doing that, going up to Blackwell. But the thing that they're doing, which I think is cool, two different things. They're doing this, and I want to make sure I'm looking at my notes. So I want to make sure I get this right. They got the new feature called Install to Play, where once a publisher opts in to adding their game into cloud streaming on Steam, if GeForce Now doesn't already have that game installed, now you can select that game via Steam. It's going to install it for you and you'll be able to play it. So that's cool. So essentially any game that is already that opts into Steam cloud streaming, you'll be able to do on GeForce Now, even if it's not already pre-installed via GeForce Now. And then the other thing, which they showed the demo of, Discord and Epic have partnered together so that you can instantly by the click of say I see you playing Fortnite via Discord. I'm going to Discord. Click a button to say, I want to play Fortnite. I'm instantly jumping in and playing Fortnite with you. Cloud streaming. Whether you're playing it natively, cloud streaming, doesn't matter. I can instantly via GeForce Now go in and do that. So it's like, you see what they're doing by upgrading, because the Blackwell will start in September, I believe. So next month. It's very impressive. It really is. Because we had about an hour demo of seeing all this stuff. And if you watch the video I put on my YouTube channel, you'll see I do like a 360 view of that GeForce Now demo room as well. But they actually had Cyberpunk 2077 running on a PS5 Pro, and then they had it also on GeForce Now, and it's the same exact LG TV side by side. The GeForce Now one looked vastly superior.
I'm not surprised.
And that's a streaming over the cloud, which is wild.
That is
wild. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to mention it because, and I know I talked about this briefly months ago. So when Assassin's Creed Shadows came out, we started playing it through the GeForce Now.
Yes, we talked about that. We talked about that at the event. Yep.
Yeah, before the actual digital game, downloadable game came out. And I played 90% of my game. I played through GeForce Now. Smooth, and I will switch. I will go play on my computer, on my PC. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Let me just continue my progress. Let me just play on my TV, and I will just log in, do the TV, and I'll have my controller connect to the TV, and again, smooth experience, zero issues.
Yeah,
zero issues.
And again, I was talking to the one rep at NVIDIA. You know him, but leave names out of it. And we were talking about this, and you know, they're confident enough that we're gonna get to a point. Like they're realizing more and more people are like, well, I got the app on the TV, and I got the controller, the Bluetooth. I don't need a console. I don't need a PC. I can just play via GeForce Now, and that's good enough. And I can tell you, because I do it all the time. I'll play Cyberpunk. I'll play all kind of crazy stuff just because I can. Obviously, the bottleneck on this is going to be you got to have enough bandwidth. If you got the bandwidth to be able to do it, the fact that they're essentially putting these RTX 5080 GPUs in the cloud, and you're able to take full advantage of everything that comes with DLSS4, multi-frame generation, high resolution, low latency. I mean, obviously, native gameplay is always going to be the number one choice, but I'm telling you right now, this is not that bad. It's not bad at all.
That's cool. That's
really cool. And that's why I continue to say GeForce Now, I mean, they're just leading the way when it comes to cloud gaming. So think about where it'll be 5 years from now. Because I believe, and I could be a little off on this, the person I was talking to, they actually started this back in 2012, and I didn't realize it went back that far. But look at where they are now in 2025. I'm playing game in 4K, 100-plus frames per second over the cloud with ray tracing, HDR, all that stuff enabled because, you know, they're putting these RTX cards in the cloud. So that was, again, very impressive. But the final thing, I just kind of want to run down some of the games I got hands on with. And again, you go to my YouTube channel, you can see some of that gameplay. Again, these are all powered by RTX. I believe we're all on RTX 5090 cards. Not every game that I played in this demo had ray tracing enabled, stuff like that. But obviously, when they get to the final builds, they will. But I played a game from a Chinese developer called Cinder City. And it's basically The Division. This is what it looked like, and it looks really, really good playing. And again, you can check it out on there. That was a lot of fun to do. Now, a game I was not good at, War Gaming. I did like the World of Tanks.
I'm terrible at that game. I'm terrible.
I was terrible. Yeah, if you look at my footage, it's hot garbage because I was terrible. Yeah. I was terrible.
You mentioned it. You mentioned your video.
I think I did. I think I did. Okay. But I even said it to one of the devs. I looked at him. I was like, I am not good at this. But I did Borderlands 4, and they threw me directly into one of the vaults. My God, the chaos that was going on in that. You know what? I got to give an apology over to Gearbox because Borderlands 4 was not really on my radar. I will fully admit it was a lot of fun.
That's really good to hear.
Yeah.
It looks good. It looks fun.
Yeah.
Looks
and, fun. And again, obviously playing it on PC with these RTX cards, it looked really, really good. I played Pragmata again, and it was the same exact demo that I did at Summer Game Fest. So I already knew exactly what to do. And they always end it right where like, oh man, it's really about to get good. Okay, get out.
Yeah.
Demo's over. You know what I mean?
But that was
good. I played a game called Black State, which reminds me a lot of Metal Gear. That was the take that I took from it. It was very kind of spy espionage kind of thing. That was a lot of fun too. Again, looks really, really good. got to check out Phantom Blade Zero while I was there. My footage of that got corrupted, so it's not in the video or whatever. Because every station we went to, they gave us a USB thing. They put it in and you capture through, you know, through the NVIDIA app. But that one, unfortunately, did not come through. Got to check out Hell Is Us. I know you went to the event for that.
Ooh, I love that game.
Good.
I like it. It's fun.
Yeah,
it
looks beautiful. Beautiful.
Tough game.
And then, bro, the last one, I played the Resident Evil Requiem demo.
I'm so
the one we saw
at
Summer Game Fest. Oh, my God. It
now,
is
you
so
play first person
good.
Or third person?
Both. I did both.
Which one you prefer?
I think I prefer third.
Okay.
I do. Both are good. I mean, obviously, it's personal preference, but I play both ways. Yo, February can't get here soon enough for that game. Look, really, really good.
One of the biggest
and I'll just say again, playing on these NVIDIA RTX GPUs, 4K, high frames, everything. All the demos were smooth. All the demos were great. Look really, really good. And they just highlight, you know, what NVIDIA is doing in the space right now. You know, again, with multi-frame generation and being able to essentially have all the bells and whistles enabled at the same time. Again, ray tracing, path tracing, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, again, overall, really, really great event. Like, I was there all day. I was there from, God, I think 8:30 in the morning to, like, 3:30 in the afternoon, just playing these games and then talking to reps at NVIDIA and obviously the GeForce Now demo that I got as well. But overall, great event. Again, I do want to thank NVIDIA for inviting me out for that because I had a fantastic time.
Hey, NVIDIA, you know, send the brother out with Paris because, you know, Paris needs help. You know, I can go with it too, you know?
Hey, you know what? You know what? That was the one thing. I was a little gun shy about filming footage because they were strict on not wanting you to film things on screen. Sure. I saw some people, they were just filming everything. And I was like, this said not do that. So I didn't do it. Yeah. But it was good. It was good. Good event. Had good. A great time.
Good.
So then after that, now we move into Gamescom. So literally I leave the NVIDIA event. I went to the hotel for a couple hours. Then I went to Opening Night Live. And that was a bucket list kind of thing. Now I can say I've always been to Opening Night Live. Very similar to the Game Awards, you know, that we've gone to multiple times at this point. But it was good. Saw so many different people from the industry and stuff at the event. So that was great. But yeah, it was fun. It was cool to see some of the announcements that had in there because I view Opening Night Live. I don't have these wild expectations for Opening Night Live. So I thought the games that they showed made sense. Looked good. So no issues there at all. Had a fun time. They had like an after party thing after, got to talk to a whole bunch of people. I will name drop this one person because I swear to God, this dude is the funniest person I've ever met is Tim Schafer. Schafer might be the funniest person I've ever met.
He's hilarious. I heard. He's very funny.
Yeah. But, so that was cool. And then the next day, that's when, that was media day at Gamescom. And, first thing I went to, I had 2 hours at the Xbox booth. And what do you think I did? Immediately got in line for the handheld, for the ROG Xbox Ally. So they brought me in. Look, I'm gonna name drop this too. Who do you think I had as my personal overseer as I was with the handheld? I had Jason Ronald.
Oh,
so,
Jason?
Ronald with me with the handheld. So we're going through all that stuff. I'm asking him a bunch of questions. So that was cool. Obviously, Hollow Knight Silksong was there. So the funny thing about that one was I didn't get to play it right away. I had to come back later and play it. But, I mean, they obviously announced the date, September 4th. Yeah. It's going to be as good as advertised. And I appreciate what they're doing by not putting out review codes because they want to respect all the people that supported them on Kickstarter and all that stuff. So everybody gets it at the same time, which I think is very fair and no problem. The game's going to be great. So you don't need no review. Yeah. Handheld. Obviously, I went over to the Asus booth as well with a handheld. Got to check out the different versions there. Then I had an appointment with an Xbox a few days later where I got behind closed doors with it. And the video I have up, that's all the footage that you see on that. I mean, you know, you and I have both already had hands on with it. We already know what it is. But I think the improvements they've made in Windows are good enough. I will personally say I still need more time with it. I still prefer the Steam Deck UI, but this is good enough. This is a vast improvement over it was. That Xbox button allows you to really quickly shortcut and get to settings and things that you need. So that was good as well. Like I said, got to see a ton of games while I was there. One that shocked me, absolutely shocked me, is Exoborn.
I think we played that game. Didn't we play that at some
No, no it's an extract. It's an extraction shooter. If you played it, then it was
I played it. Okay. How I played it. I don't remember. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. But anyways, they gave me a behind closed door session with the devs, and you know, we went in 3-player co-op, like I said, extraction shooter. It was real, like, I'm just gonna keep it real. This is what Marathon should be. That was my immediate thought as I'm playing this. It was really, really good. They're going to do another play test in October. I looked at PR like, y'all got to get me in this.
Yeah, you know what? They actually contacted me for a beta, Gamescom beta, but I totally missed it. It's a lot of... Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that was really good. I got to play High on Life 2, and...
Can't wait for that game.
Yeah.
It's funny, too.
Yeah, hilarious. And I just love... I love just some of the stuff that they're doing. Like, they essentially had, like, the bad guy you're chasing. He got inside the menus and the system settings, and you got to chase him through. Like, it was hilarious the way that they did it. And then the guy that's doing the voiceover the whole time, and by the end, he gets tired of doing it. He's like, look, I'm actually the guy. I work here at Squanch Games. I can't do this voice no more. Dude, come on. Just go play the game. It's going to be great. Like, that's the way you do it is so good. Now, here's a funny story. Mm-hmm. So they had the Xbox Ally, then they had High on Life 2 on it, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, yeah. You could take a picture. You could pick it up. And I was like, okay, cool. I go to reach for it. And the person in PR, she goes to reach for it at the same time. We dropped it.
So now you know, guys, if you buy a handheld, it's not working, blame Paris.
Oh, my God. I was horrified. I was like, oh, no. I dropped
it. Wait, so it landed to the side, face down.
I don't remember. I was in shock. I don't remember what it did.
I bet that room was so quiet.
Oh, everybody just started laughing, honestly. But it was fine. Everything was fine on it.
That's cool.
So did that, and I got in for an appointment. Tim Schafer again. So I got overview of Keeper with Double Fine. Nice. Tim Schafer's not making it, but the creative director, he's still finishing the game. So Tim Schafer was the one that came in to talk about it. Mm-hmm. He joked, because there's no dialogue in the game. He joked that he was like, if I was making it, I would have ruined it because I would have wrote up all this stuff on it, but. He explained the game, the mechanic, like a lot of puzzle elements with the lighthouse and the bird that you have. And it looks interesting. Again, it's such a Double Fine game. The artwork in it, the music, all that looked fantastic. So I can't wait to actually get hands on with that. So I also got an appointment. I played Planet of Lana 2. I got to say this. Oh, no. It was with the creative director, with the creator of the first Planet of Lana. Just me and him one-on-one, and he's walking me through the game. Danny, my God.
You could even record it. That's the thing. Paris couldn't record. No interview, nothing. No pictures.
I couldn't. No interviews, no pictures, nothing. My God. The new puzzle elements and things that they're adding into it make so much sense, and it's going to make it so much more fun to play. And again, obviously the level, the artwork, the music, all of that is just beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, my God. And then at the very end, he had it on the Xbox Ally. I got to play it on that just for like a couple minutes. It wasn't a long time, because that's when I thought, oh, I'm gonna take a picture with it. I'm like, oh, we can't do that. I was like, oh, darn. 2026, bro. It's going to be so good.
I've been noticing, Paris, and also like videos and pictures from Gamescom. Yo, mm-hmm. like Xbox really, really pushed this Xbox Ally.
It was the feature at Gamescom. Was that handheld? It was everywhere. They had that handheld everywhere.
Is that, and I know we have to wrap it up soon, but is that surprising because that's not their main, it's not their main product. It's not their hardware. They're partnering with another company. You get what I'm saying? So like, do you find that interesting? Like that they're really, really pushing this from.
Well, it just makes sense because, I mean, you got to think it this way. This is them, Windows, Xbox on PC, Xbox Play Anywhere. This is where Xbox is headed.
Yeah.
You know, whether you agree with it or not, this is what they're doing. Their next generation console will mimic a lot of what this handheld's going to do from a UI standpoint, from obviously being more PC than console, stuff like that. So it makes sense. They definitely want, wanted as many people to get hands-on with it as possible. Because, again, the public had access to it at the Asus booth, and you had limited access to it at the Xbox booth. So thousands of people got to use this thing during Gamescom. It wasn't just the media. You know what I mean? I mean, we obviously got a little more extended time with it, but they're pretty confident in it. And like I said, there's still things about the UI. You still, like Tom Warren, I know, put a video out where you could, he showed where you could switch from desktop and get right, you hit the Xbox button, you get right back into the Xbox. The Xbox full screen experience is such a mouthful to say, but you will still have to go to the desktop to install certain third party things, updates, things like that. So there's still, and they've acknowledged this, still things they need to tweak on it. But I think, like I said, it's good enough, right? So that by the time we get to October 16th, they can launch it. Interesting that there's no price yet, which tells me they're still trying to get this thing as cheap as they possibly can. You know what I mean? So hopefully we'll see in the next week or two, they'll officially announce a price on this thing.
Yeah, I know you have to go, but prediction.
So we still got some time.
Prediction with the price. Do you think, how low do you think they could go?
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
I think that the Xbox Ally, the white one, the 720p one, that's going to be the one I can see that getting as low as 500, probably 550, maybe as low as 500. The X being the more premium enthusiast device, that thing ain't going to be cheap.
That's going to be expensive. I see that like 800 more, mm-hmm. right?
I can see that. If they could get that to 799, I think that's a win for everybody, in my opinion. Which, let me say this. Mm-hmm. When I got to play and use it, and you'll even see it in the video I got, I played Forza Horizon 5 on the Ally, on the S version. You know, I keep calling the S, but the white version, the 720p version. It was fine. It was fine. I actually think that one is going to be the more popular one, obviously, because it's cheaper. And I think, and we'll see in reviews when we get more performance tests, but it played everything just fine. There were no issues at all. So I do think they're going to push the X version as more of the, hey, this is the premium enthusiast one. It's going to be expensive, but they're going to try and make the white one, the 720p version, the more accessible one to get more people to jump in. So we'll see. We'll obviously find out here in the next couple of weeks. But I was very impressed by the Xbox Ally.
So that's the push, that the Xbox Ally, or is it ROG Ally? Like how
it's the full name is the Asus ROG Xbox Ally and the Asus ROG Xbox Ally X.
Too long.
And man, it's such a mouthful.
It's too long.
Yeah.
Too long. No, it's good to know. I know I think in the next episode, Powers, I will really want us to take our time to talk about the Outer Worlds 2 and
absolutely.
Whatever.
Yes.
It's I don't want us to have like a short conversation about that game, you know?
But go ahead. So I'll just, you know, give a little sneak peek on this. So obviously today embargo came up. So I got hands on at Gamescom to play that. And afterwards I got to not sit down, but stand with the creative director and the game director for the Outer Worlds 2 in an interview. I don't know, it's probably about 14, 15 minutes long was the interview. It was a good conversation. And again, the creative director, he helped create Fallout, you know? And I think we can both agree, you see a lot of Fallout DNA in the Outer Worlds. So it makes a lot of sense. What was I going to say? But we'll talk about it more in depth on the next episode. But I really enjoyed it. I'm liking it so far, for sure.
Yeah. Yo, I played multiple times, 3 times.
Oh, and here's the other thing. Yeah. So the prologue that we both did, we obviously, wait, you didn't get to play it in June, because I got to play it in June as well. And then I also went to the theater presentation at Gamescom, so I got a third perspective on it. Man, there's so much to this game that people just still haven't seen that I think people would be very impressed with.
No, that's good. That's good. Actually, yeah, like I think people are gonna really look. If you love the first one, this is gonna be like, it has that same vibe, same magic, but cleaner and better. One thing that I noticed, I love the first one, but I was having a lot of issues sometimes with your companions. They were kind of out there. Like sometimes they will defend you, sometimes they don't. But this one, I feel like it was a lot cleaner, a lot better. I made different choices for me to discover like new areas and everything.
Yeah.
And I noticed the story changed a bit too with that. My second time, and I'll talk about it more next time, but the second time I played it, I found a totally new area, bro. I was there even longer, twice as long as the first time I played. Like, it's cool. It's cool. I think it's highly recommended to play it multiple times to discover things and build a different relationship with your companions and all that.
I'll say this because he talked about this in June, and then I asked him again officially in the interview, the game director. There's no respec in the game. And in the interview, he explains why, but in simple terms, it has the replayability. They want your choices to matter and that you can't just, oh, well, that didn't work. All right, I'm just going to respec into this. No. Once you make a decision, you got to stick with that. And that's your character for the entire story.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. All right. Anything else, Paris? Anything else?
One last thing. Mm-hmm. So I do think one other cool thing I got to do at Gamescom was two things. I got to go with Tencent. I got to get a behind the scenes look at Project Spectrum, which they showed during opening night live. But the other thing was I got to sit down with the creative director at Rebel Wolves for The Blood of Dawnwalker. Bro, we just sat down on the couch, 30 minutes just talking about the game, just chill.
Good vibe, and
I got that video up as well. And it's so funny because a lot of people at Rebel Wolves, it's a lot of CD Projekt Red people that helped make The Witcher 3 and even Cyberpunk. So it was like when I walk in, they all know me, all know them. And it was just cool. It was a really good time. But definitely check that out as well. But like I said, overall, Gamescom was fantastic. People, went above and beyond to make sure anything I was trying to get access to, made sure I could. Great conversations. Got to see old friends, made some new friends, stuff like that. Got to hang out with Jez for a little bit.
We
even did an interview together for how do you say it? They're from Denmark. Is it Finnish or is that Finland? I don't know. But anyways, they're from Denmark, and we did an interview together with them. So that was cool too.
Dope. Make sure to go to Paris' YouTube channel. He has a couple. How many videos already have up?
It's
a couple.
Man, I've been throwing all kind. Like I even put a Black Ops 7 interview. Same people you got to talk to as well. But we just did it at Gamescom. So yeah, I've been putting up a ton of stuff on there.
Yeah. Same time now you see their faces because before they're like no video. I'm like, oh, okay. I told Paris, I go, I bet when you interview them, you will record their faces. it's gonna be different. But I'm glad. Make sure to check out his YouTube channel. There's gonna be more stuff coming up too from Paris. Anything else, Paris? I know we're gonna record The Outer Worlds 2 on Sunday morning. Hopefully we could do that and maybe other stuff too. But I just want to say, Paris, the console wars. It's completely
over. Those are so dead.
Completely over.
So dead. Yeah. And people, that's a conversation for Sunday. But the console wars are over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited because I've been playing a lot of Helldivers 2. I went back because I have it on PC, but Xbox is really cool, man.
Real quick, did you put out the video yet of you and I playing Gears of War Reloaded on PlayStation?
Not yet. I'm planning to post it on the weekend. I'll put it. Yeah. Because we actually played 100% PlayStation. Let's do it. The only difference is I couldn't find my headset, so I did everything through the controller. I was using the mic to there. Paris said they sounded great. So
yeah, sound fine.
But we did great. We finished, we got close to the end of Act One.
We did Act One. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. But it's crazy seeing Gears and Helldivers both at the same time do different platforms. Yeah. And it's been successful with Helldivers too, man. I think they almost reached 400K.
Yeah, yeah.
In a day. I was like, whoa, at the same time. That's really
cool, the majority,
man.
From what I saw, the majority was on Steam, but it wasn't by much that was also on console as well. So a lot of people are jumping in. I mean, bro, think about it. You put it on Xbox, you add an ODST Warbond in there. Just makes sense. Of course, people are going to jump. I played a little bit last night as well.
And you know what? I played it through my console. I played the Xbox Series S. I had to change it to quality. I didn't really like the performance mode, the way it looked. But it was smooth. It was fine. But when I started finding random matches, I got help from the PC community and also from the PlayStation community. Yeah. So that was really cool. I was getting a lot of help. And I'm like, I already played it, but they don't know.
Let people play what they want. Doesn't matter what device you're on. It's great.
Exactly. Yeah, but it was cool. Shout out to everybody playing both games, Gears and Helldivers. We'll talk about it more in the future. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for watching or listening to this podcast. And we'll be back here on Sunday. We'll talk about Outer Worlds 2 and other stuff too. But that's about it. Until next time. We're out. Take care.
Peace.
Bye.